Well, let's open God's Word today. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 7. We'll be there in just a moment. Pastor Ben, our children's pastor, this last week asked me if I could give a little plug for children's ministries and our need to see more people involved in leadership in our kids' ministry, more people serving there. I'm more than happy to talk about kids' ministries because honestly, they have just been hitting it out of the park. Our kids' ministries here at Bethel Church are incredible. They're amazing. I am so thankful for the work that they do. This past year, especially when we've seen so many things that have been closed down to kids, our kids ministry at Bethel Church has been going full steam ahead. We did a day camp this summer with over 100 kids that participated in day camp. We had a record number of families come to our fall festival in October. They've just been doing great. Pastor Ben told me that last Sunday. We've had the largest attendance in kids ministry since COVID started, and so they're on the go and they're looking forward to Easter and all kinds of kids are coming back. So kids are coming back, but our volunteers haven't been back, and so we really need, if we're going to keep on ministering to the kids, we really need more people to be involved in that. And in fact, he needs 24 leaders on Sundays. 24. He also needs 4 women leaders on Wednesday nights. We need about 40 volunteers to help with next summer's day camp. And so we've got a lot of needs in that area. Pastor Ben and a few of the children's ministry people are going to be posted at a table out in the foyer. And they've got free ice cream. Free ice cream. Pastor Ben has no shame. He will bribe you. And he told me, make sure to tell people they don't have to sign up to get the ice cream. So you don't have to sign up. You just have to show up at the table. And they've got some people there that are going to talk to you about children's ministry. And so, just prayerfully consider that. How many of you are ready for some really exciting news? Man, I've got some exciting news to share with you today. And it goes back to last Sunday. Last Sunday, if you were here, you'll recall that I challenged us about paying off our church mortgage in 2021. And over the years, we've been paying this down, and we are almost there. We are so close. So last Sunday, I announced we are $200,000 away from paying off our mortgage. We have a 5-year call. We have a 15-year loan, but we have a 5-year call that's coming up on June 20th of this year. And it's always been our prayer that we wanted to pay off that mortgage at the 5-year call and not refinance. And so last week I announced to you, we are so close, down to $200,000, very doable. But then this week we had a miracle. And I received a letter from an anonymous member of our church, and they really want us to keep their name anonymous. But the letter says this: Pastor Tim, it was at last year's annual business meeting that you expressed that one of your goals was to see the church pay off the mortgage in 2021. The expression from you led my wife and I to reconsider our contribution to the church, which was to happen upon our passing. Our thought was to speed up our contribution so we could participate in the victory and celebration. Thank you for your loving and faithful leadership. Enclosed in this letter was a check in the amount of $100,000. Come on, give the Lord praise. Yeah, so awesome. Yeah, and so we are already halfway there. After 1 week. And I'm just believing that the Lord is going to help us. And so I just want to encourage you. Most of us probably don't have the ability to write a check for $100,000, but we can all do something. We can all make a sacrifice in some area of our finances. And together, with the Lord's help, we're going to make this thing happen by June 20th. And so I just ask you to consider, above your tithe and offering, between now and June 20th to be giving toward this, and let's believe God for a miracle, and let's get this thing paid off. That's going to instantly free up over $3,000 a month in our monthly expenses, which is money that we can put, instead of sending it to the bank every month, we can put it right back into ministry in our community. And that's why we've got a heart to see this happen. We want to see that debt paid off. Will you believe God with us? Amen. Let's believe God for great things. So this morning we're continuing our series called Kingdom People. We just have a couple of more weeks in this series, and we've been talking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in 2021. So with everything that's been going on in our world, there's just a lot of really uninformed opinions out there about what it means to be a Christian and what Christians should be about and how Christians should feel and what Christians should stand for. And it can be very, very confusing. Fortunately for us, we don't have to be confused about these things because God has given us His word, the Bible, so that we can know exactly what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in a year, right? And so we don't have to rely on the opinions of people. We take our cues from Jesus Himself. And so so that's what we're talking about. What does it look like for us? And this morning we're going to be talking about spiritual authority or kingdom authority. And we're going to start with this great miracle that happens in the Gospels, Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. So Jesus has come into this town of Capernaum. Capernaum was located near where Jesus was raised, near the town of Nazareth. It was a fishing village right on the Sea of Galilee. Several of the disciples actually were from this town of Capernaum. Peter and Andrew, James, John, Matthew, all of them were from, this was their hometown. And much of Jesus' ministry in the Gospels takes place in this village, in Capernaum. In fact, 16 different times in the Gospels, this village is mentioned. And so Jesus arrives there, and this delegation of Jewish leaders comes to him on behalf of this Roman centurion. Now, it's interesting. Many times we think of the Roman soldiers as the bad guys. Most of the time that Roman soldiers are mentioned in the Gospels, they're actually mentioned in a good light. And in this case, this guy in a very good light. This guy is called a centurion. That was an official title in the Roman army who would have been the leader of about 80 soldiers. So we think of centurion, we think of 100, but it was actually about 80. And this centurion sends this delegation to Jesus because his servant is sick to the point of death. Now, this delegation of Jewish leaders, they really love this guy because even though he's this Roman soldier, it says he loves the Jewish people. There's a place in his heart for these Jewish people. In fact, he built them a synagogue in Capernaum. So he either had his soldiers do it or he paid for it. We don't know how exactly that took place. But imagine that, a Roman soldier that builds a synagogue for the Jewish people. It's an amazing thing. So these people love him, and so they come to Jesus and they ask Jesus to come and to heal this man's servant. So Jesus starts going toward the house, but then this happens. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you under my roof." So not only is he a good man, he's also a humble man. "That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed." Jesus, you don't have to even show up. I believe in you so much, all you have to do is say the word. For I myself am a man under authority. Everybody say authority. I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Wow. Roman soldier. And Jesus says, this guy's got more faith than anyone I've seen so far. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. How many of you know there's nothing that's impossible for the Lord? Amen. This guy is sick, very sick, sick to the point of death. And Jesus just speaks the word and he's made completely well, completely healed. So here's where we're going today, and this is in your notes, as we continue to talk about kingdom people. Kingdom people are people who submit to God's authority and walk in the power of God's authority. Kingdom people are people who submit to God's authority and people who walk in the power of God's authority. So this Roman centurion, because of his military experience and training, he was a man who understood the principle of authority. Now, that's not the amazing part. This is just where he lived. What's amazing about this guy is the fact that as a soldier, he understood authority. But the amazing part was he had the insight to know that the same principle of authority that existed in his military world also existed in the spiritual realm. And that Jesus had authority in the spiritual realm. So much so that Jesus didn't even have to be in the guy's house to heal his servant. All Jesus had to do because of his spiritual authority is speak the word and it would happen. So this is an amazing, amazing statement of understanding spiritual authority and understanding of who Jesus is. This man knew that he needed something outside the realm of the natural. His servant needed something supernatural. He needed something that no one was going to be able to explain. Listen, this is kind of a side note this morning. There's this false narrative in our world that goes something like this. It says something to the effect that Christians are people who don't believe in science. Listen, this is a lie. Christians aren't people who don't believe in science. Christians are people, however, that believe that science can't explain everything. And science doesn't have the answer for everything, right? And so there are those who would try to pit science against Christianity. And so we've got these slogans, I believe in science, follow the science. Listen, science in itself is nothing more than a method of study. It's a scientific method. It's a method of study. It's neither right nor wrong, moral or immoral. It's a way to study things. That's all science is. So in that sense, science is never wrong. Scientists, on the other hand, are human beings. And sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. That's why scientists can totally disagree about things, right? So as Christians, it's not that we don't believe in science. We just believe that science doesn't have all the answers that we need in life. All right? And there's a lot I could say about that whole narrative. In fact, this week I'll be doing a 5-minute video that we'll put on Facebook where I'm going to talk about faith as opposed to science and how those things work together. So look at that this week. So this guy knew he needed something that science couldn't explain. He needed something doctors couldn't do. He needed something outside the natural, outside the normal. He needed something supernatural. And many of us here today, I'm going to say all of us here today and all of us watching online, we all need a miracle from God in some way in our lives. Right? We all need God to do something that we can't do ourselves. Listen, I'm a big believer in people putting on their big boy pants and getting stuff done, right? But I also know this, there are some things that happen in life that are outside of our control, right? You need answers that no scientist can help you with, no doctor can help you with. The banker can't help you with it. You need something outside of the natural. You need God to do something supernatural. You need a spiritual miracle in your life. How many of you just need God to heal you? You need God to, the doctors are doing what they can, but they're limited. God is unlimited, amen? How many of you today, you need a financial miracle? You need something to come through. You need a breakthrough when it comes to your finances. Some of you in this place, you need some answers when it comes to having a job. You're looking for a job. You need, maybe your job is ending, or you need to find a job, whatever it might be. You need an answer. Some of you today, you have loved ones who aren't walking with the Lord, and your biggest prayer is, Lord, I want my loved ones to come to know you before they die or before you come back, and you need a miracle to take place. You've tried everything you can to get them to change their heart, to get them to change their mind, but you can't convince them. You need the Holy Spirit to do something in their life. You need a miracle from God to see it happen. And I would say too this, that all of us in this place, the miracle that we need from God is not something outside of us. We really need God to do something in our own hearts. God, I need you to change my heart. I need you to change the way I'm thinking. And I want you to know God is big enough. He is great enough. He can do it. And so today, instead of just sitting back and being victims, we're going to rise up in the name of Jesus, and we're going to take authority over those things we're up against. Amen? So I want to give you some principles from the Bible, some principles of spiritual authority, some principles of kingdom authority, okay? So these are all found in your notes, some foundations for spiritual authority. The first one is this: spiritual authority comes from God alone. He's our starting place, right? We're limited, but we serve an unlimited God. Psalm 86 and verse 10. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Yeah. Psalm 18, verses 30 to 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is our rock except our God? Psalm 35, 10. Says, with every bone in my body, I will praise him. Lord, who can compare with you? Who else rescues the helpless from the strong? Who else protects the helpless and poor from those who rob them? Hallelujah. So it all starts with God, because we're limited, but we serve an unlimited God. So today we're going to believe God for things that are completely outside of our power, outside of our ability. But nothing is outside of God's power and ability, church. Amen? Yeah. Number two, all spiritual authority has been given to Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth, the Bible says, has been given to Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So let's talk about Jesus coming into this world. and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. God exalted him to the highest place. There is no higher name, church, than the name of Jesus. Amen? Yes, and sickness must bow to the name of Jesus. Cancer must bow to the name of Jesus. Lack must bow to the name of Jesus. Depression must bow to the name of Jesus. Fear must bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? This is why, church, when we pray in the name of Jesus. When we take authority in the name of Jesus. Because if I was praying in the name of Tim, I wouldn't get very far. But when we pray in the name of Jesus, the sky's the limit, amen? I mean, the sky's not even the limit. Yeah. All spiritual authority has been given to Jesus. And then number three, bring it home here. In Christ and through Christ, we too have been granted spiritual authority. Okay? What do you mean by that? Look at Luke chapter 2, chapter 9 rather. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power. Everybody say power. He gave them power and authority. He gave them power and authority to do what? To drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What does this mean? Well, after Jesus rose from the dead, remember he ascended into heaven right before the eyes of his disciples. He ascended into the heaven, and the Bible says he was seated at the right hand of God. This was the place of authority, right at the right hand of God. And now in the Spirit, the Bible says since Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and since Jesus is in us, in the Spirit, we are actually seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. So we have authority over the enemy. Hallelujah. Listen, church, I'm not a guy that looks for demons behind every bush, under every rock, but I do know this, the devil is real. And many of the battles that we are facing, they are spiritual battles, and we need, as followers of Jesus Christ, to learn how to take authority in the name of Jesus and stop letting the devil beat us up. Come on. Yeah. We have authority in the name of Jesus as it's been given to us by the Lord himself. Number four, the basis of spiritual authority is the cross. Okay? Why? How can we have spiritual authority? It's the cross. Why? The reason the devil had any authority in our world to begin with is because Adam and Eve, when they rebelled against God, even though they didn't understand they were doing this, this was an invitation for the devil to start taking authority in the world. There's places in the Bible where Satan is called things like he's the prince of the power of the air. He's called the prince of darkness. He's called the god of this world. Okay, so he has a lot of influence in our world. And the only thing that has broken that influence is the blood that Jesus shed on the cross and him rising from the dead. He has defeated the enemy. And now through the blood of Jesus, we have authority over the devil. He's still there. He's still real. He just doesn't have authority over you and I anymore because Jesus shed his blood for us. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Listen, there's a lot of people, even Christians, they're living in fear. Are we living in the last days? What's going to happen? Are we in the book of Revelation? Listen, I don't know the exact timing. It feels like we're in the last days, but do not fear because we... Come on, church. Yeah. Don't be afraid of the last days. God is going to do glorious, amazing, powerful things in the last days, and the devil is a defeated foe. Remember that. Yeah. Stop shrinking back in fear and move forward in faith. Number five, God's word is the operator's manual for spiritual authority. Okay. In other words, it's through God's word, the Bible, that we understand what spiritual authority means and how to use it. The Bible also gives us the parameters for spiritual authority. In other words, I can't start taking spiritual authority over things just because I want to. It has to come from the Word of God, right? So I can't just start saying things like, in the name of Jesus, I claim that Mercedes, right? Now, if God has told me he's going to give me that Mercedes, then I can start doing that. But until then, I don't have authority to do that. And this is why a lot of Christians, they kind of shy away from this stuff because they've seen abuses. They've seen abuses, and so they kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. Listen, as long as you stick with the Word of God, you're going to be in a good, safe place. Amen? And you can begin to walk in confidence and authority because you're taking a hold of the promises that God has already given to you. Number six, we must submit to God's authority before we can exercise authority. Not as many amens there. Come on. Listen, James chapter 4 and verse 7, it's right here. Submit yourselves, everybody say submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, a lot of times we hear this verse, we only hear part B. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But church, before you can resist the devil, the first step is you got to submit to God. There's a proper sequence here. If we're to be completely honest with ourselves, this is a sticking point for a lot of us in our battles. We're busy rebuking the devil in some area of our lives when what really needs to happen, instead of rebuking the devil, we need to start submitting to God. Right? Because if you're not submitting to God in that area of your life, you're going to have no spiritual authority because you're not walking God's authority. You're not submitted to God's authority. So if you want to have victories in your life, it starts right there. God, I surrender this area of my life to you. I submit it to you. God, I'm going to do this your way. Right? Couples, when they're getting ready to get married, listen, do it God's way. If you want God to bless your marriage, do it the way God's wanting you to do your marriage. Come on. Yeah. If you want God to bless your finances, it's going to start with, God, I'm going to use my finances the way you've told me to use my finances. Otherwise, we get outside of God's authority because we're walking in rebellion to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Then you're going to have authority. Okay? Number seven, spiritual authority is exercised in unity. It's exercised in unity. So this is one reason, one of many reasons, why church unity is so important. So important that we're together, that we're not being offended by one another, that we're forgiving one another, that we're resolving our differences so we can walk in unity with one another. the devil wants to bring disunity because he knows how much power and authority we have when we get our act together and we start working in unity with one another. Okay? So, Jesus said in Matthew 18, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." How many of you know that's some big-time authority right there? Yeah, whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you agree about anything and ask for it, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three who gather in my name, there am I with them. So there's power when any child of God prays. When we pray by ourselves, when we pray at home, we're praying by ourselves, there's power in that. But Jesus is saying there's like extra power and authority. There's a whole new dimension of authority that's exercised when we come together in unity and we agree together in the name of Jesus. Things get done. Amen? So pray on your own. Pray on your own, but pray together. Get in a life group. Come to a prayer meeting. Pray on your own, but pray together in the name of Jesus. Right? And then amazing things happen. Number eight, our warfare is not with people. Our warfare is not with, church, how we need in our day and age to remember this. Right? People are not the enemy. They're not. These people that we are turning into the enemy and setting ourselves up against, these are the people that Jesus died on the cross to save. Come on. People are not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Now, the good news, church, is you're still going to be standing. The battle's going to be over. You're still going to be standing in the name of Jesus, all right? But you got to know where the battle is. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not against what you're thinking it is. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Number nine, the catalyst for exercising kingdom authority is faith. The catalyst for exercising kingdom authority is faith. So if we go back to Luke chapter 7, the story, this miracle that Jesus does, notice that Jesus doesn't commend the centurion for his incredible spiritual insight. When it comes to spiritual authority, what he commends about this Roman centurion is his faith. It's his faith. Verse 9 again, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So there's always going to be this step of faith, right? And we have a difficult time with that arena of faith sometimes. Sometimes we'll only believe God for what we can believe for. Okay? We'll only believe God for what we can believe for. And I'm going to challenge us today. Let's believe God for those things you're having a hard time believing. Amen? Because God is not limited. Let's put our trust in Jesus. And let's believe that God can do the impossible. Let's walk in that element of faith. Let's be supernatural followers of Jesus Christ. Let's believe God for the impossible. Let's believe God for miracles. Amen? Miracle healings and miracle provision. There's a story in the Gospels. I love this story where Peter comes to Jesus and he doesn't know where the tax money is going to come from. We're going to find money to pay the taxes. Jesus isn't worried at all. And he sends Peter out to go fishing. I love this story. Peter catches a fish. And when he pulls the fish in, he looks in the mouth, and there's a coin in the fish's mouth to pay the taxes with. I love it. So guys, whenever you want to go fishing, you just tell your wife, sweetheart, I'm not going fishing for me. I'm just trying to pay the taxes. And she can't argue with that because it's biblical, right? Yes. It's an amazing story, and it's just yet like another example that there's nothing impossible with the Lord. Nothing. And then number 10, and then we're going to pray. The goal of kingdom authority is for people to come to know Christ. The ultimate goal, because this is God's ultimate goal, the ultimate goal is people coming to Jesus. So much of what we see in the church today, especially in the church in America, so much has to do with our own personal comfort. Jesus, I need you to make my life better. Jesus, I need you to make my life easier. Jesus, I need you to change my kids. Jesus, I need you to fix this. Right? And it becomes so much about us. And I'm convinced, church, that because we've made it so much about us, that's why we're not seeing the miracles that we could be seeing. When we make it about God and God's mission, when we make it about Him, when we make it about people coming to know Christ, because that is God's mission, then I believe, church, we're going to see an amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see more miracles than we've ever seen before. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Okay, we're talking about authority. Jesus said to them, his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority, okay, he's died, he's risen from the dead, he's meeting with the disciples before he goes to heaven. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. But then look at what he says. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Church, we need to be about God's purposes. Amen? Seeing people come to Christ. Seeing people come to know Jesus. When we were building this facility that God gave us, we had a few different really significant times of dedication to the Lord, just dedicating this property to the Lord, dedicating this building to the Lord. And one particular prayer gathering that we had took place on this floor before there was carpet or pews or chairs or paint on the walls or lights or a platform. This was just a bare concrete floor on this entire, I think the studs were in, but the walls weren't even up yet. And we came in here and we set up lights and we prayed and we dedicated this property to the Lord. But one of the things that we did is we gave everybody that came a Sharpie. So everybody had a Sharpie, and we asked people to do two things. The first thing we asked them to do was to pray and ask the Lord for some promise that God was giving to them concerning this place. And then we had them write these scriptures on the floor. So whenever you come to church at Bethel Church, you are literally standing on the Word of God. Because there's promises of God all written all over this place underneath this carpet. Okay? That's the first thing we asked them to do. The second thing we asked them to do was to write the names of people that they were praying to come to know Christ. Okay? And that we were going to start praying for those people. And the reason we did that is we were establishing that this place wasn't to be a place that was to be used just for our comfort. This wasn't to be a place that was just like about our kids having a good time at kids' church and us having, you know, potlucks down in the fellowship hall and enjoying good music. And it wasn't about that. That this place was going to be about people who don't know Jesus yet coming to know Jesus. And that was our heart and that was our vision. And that's why we were investing in this building. It wasn't to spend it on us. It was never about us. It was always about the kingdom. It was always about people coming to faith in Christ. And so that's why we had people write those names all over this place. How many of you today, you've got loved ones, you're praying for them to come to know Christ? Amen. Yeah, me too. Me too. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for our loved ones in just a minute. We're going to take authority in the name of Jesus, and we're going to believe God for miracles, for healing. Some of you, you need a touch of God in your body, and we're going to pray for healings. But before we get to that, we're going to ask God for the biggest miracle of all. If there's anybody here that you don't know if you're saved yet, if something were to happen to you, you were to stand in the presence of God today, you're not sure if you'd make it to heaven. If that's you, I want to lead you into prayer right now, because in reality, this is the very biggest miracle. You know, God can heal your body, but if you die not knowing Christ, even though you had a miracle of healing in your body and God made you more comfortable until you died, the reality is if you die without Christ, then you're going to spend eternity suffering. So the greatest miracle is not a miracle of healing. The greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. Because your salvation is going to last for all eternity. So it's the greatest miracle there is. It's the most important decision we can ever make. And God does that miracle. He does that miracle. I'm going to invite you to just bow your heads with me, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And I want to give you the opportunity right now. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, you're not walking with the Lord, you're here and you're uncertain about your salvation, I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to know that you know that you know that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you're ready. You're ready. So Jesus, come today. You're ready. I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray right now. And I invite you, I'm going to count to three, I invite you, if today you want to be included in this prayer or you're watching online and you want to be included in this prayer, I want to invite you, when I get to the number three, just raise up your hand. And when you do that, you're just saying, Pastor Tim, today I want to open my heart up to Jesus Christ. Today I want to pray to receive Christ as my Savior. I want Jesus to come into my life. If that's you today, when I get to three, you raise your hand, and then I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. Whether you're in-house today or at home watching online, I invite you to respond to this. One, when I get to three, you raise your hand. Two, three, right now, raise your hand. I want to receive Christ into your life. Anybody here today, anybody online, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody's hands go up, but I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And church, will you pray? Will you pray with people right now, whether they're online or maybe they just didn't raise their hand and they're going to pray? Pray along with me. Heavenly Father, come on, all together. Heavenly Father, I bring you my life today. God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle in my own heart. Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you've risen from the dead. Lord, please forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, church, let's stand together. How many of you today need a miracle in your body? You need healing. You need God to touch you. Need a healing in your body. Would you raise your hand right now? Yeah, you need healing in your body. We want to pray for you right now. And so I'm going to invite all of you who just raise your hand. If you're comfortable doing this, I invite you to just come out right now and come to the front, all right? Just step out from where you are. Those of you raising your hand, come on up. We're going to pray for you today, and we're going to believe God for miracles in this place. Some of you today, maybe you don't need healing in your body, but there's someone, you've got someone close to you that you're praying for, and you want to pray for a miracle for them. Come on up, all right? I invite you to come as well, and let's believe God for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you would say today, well, it's not really a healing I need, but I know I need some spiritual breakthrough. I need a breakthrough to take place, and I need to take authority over this situation. For some of us, maybe it's our own emotions. Maybe we've been struggling with depression or anxiety, or perhaps you're here and you need an answer from God with your job, or you need some kind of provision in some way. And you need to have a breakthrough in some area of your life besides healing. I invite you to come on up and join those that are praying for healing today, all right? Come on up. Let's believe God together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Lift your hands to the Lord. Church, would you reach out toward those who are up front, all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. And God, we declare, we come into agreement with your word, God, that there is nothing that's impossible for you. God, we believe that if you can do a miracle for a first century centurion, a Roman soldier, God, you'll do it for us now. God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God, we come before you and we ask, God, for a release of the supernatural. We ask for a release of the miraculous. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority. We refuse to just sit back. We refuse to sit back. We refuse to sit back and be victims, but we're taking a stand today in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're believing you, God, for miracles in the house. We're believing you, God, for healing. We're believing you for provision in Jesus' name. God, I also want to pray, God, for those that have been struggling with depression, anxiety, fear. God, I pray that that heaviness is going to be lifted off of them and that you'd restore joy. Your word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I pray today, God, for a restoration of joy in people's hearts and lives, God. Hallelujah. Cancer, be gone. In Jesus' name. Sickness, be gone. In Jesus' name. We take authority today. Depression, be gone. In Jesus' name. Fear, be gone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I'm just sensing from you this morning the word confusion. Confusion, that there's at least one person here right now. They just feel lost. They feel confused. They don't know what to do. God, I pray today for clarity. Clarity in their life, God. This confusion. Your word says that you are not the author of confusion. You're not the author of confusion. So we come against that confusion and we pray that that confusion is going to be replaced by clarity, by peace, Lord, by direction, God. Lord, your word tells us if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask, God, and it will be given. So we pray, God, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that they're going to know that they know that they know what you're saying to them, what they need to do, what that next step is, in the name of Jesus. God, someone here, they're struggling with confusion in a relationship. And they're just like, they're all tied up. And there's so much misunderstanding. God, I pray, God, that misunderstanding is going to be broken. There's going to be clarity. There's going to be breakthrough in that relationship. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, I pray that even relationships where people have been alienated, even for years, God, there'd be restoration. There'd be restoration and healing, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. We give you praise. Father, I pray for those who are watching online. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd reach right down into that living room and touch them, God, right where they need to be touched today, God. Lord, that you'd bring healing, that you'd bring provision, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're at home right now, just reach out to the Lord right now. Let him touch you right where you're at. Hallelujah. You don't have to be at church for God to touch you. I love it when people are at church, but you don't have to be at church for God to touch you. He can touch you right now, right where you're at, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, church. We're going to sing a great song of faith to the Lord right now.